Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, help us grow in your word. Help your word get inside us now. Open up our hearts and minds to the new life you're thinking. Bless us in that, Lord, and bless our life together in you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Finding joy in God's promises. We're going to hear a lot about complaining, but I looked up some good facts and figures about this that I want to share with you. I think we all need joy. The text from Philippians, which, you know, we're working through Philippians, talking about joy. So what I want to share with you is some ideas, some thoughts from the Word of God on how you can cultivate and keep a happy heart in spite of anything and everything that happens. I think we are kind of like balloons, put that in the outlines, that we tend to lose our air over time. You ever have like a really happy experience and you're real joyous, and then it just kind of leaks out over time, and you're kind of like down there again, like helium balloons. And then sometimes there'll be a person or an event or a situation that you'll be stuck in, and it will just take away your happiness and your joy instantly. Both these things happen to us, happen to me. And Paul gives a couple of examples. I put them in the outline from the verses 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 of common things that come against us and take our joy away. Now, joy is certainly the topic of this epistle, so it does make sense. It's important to talk about. I looked up the word in the epistle 14 times from beginning to end. That's a lot. That's more than any other epistle that Paul wrote. That's more than any other epistle in the Bible. So this is a central theme. The word joy in Greek is this word chara or kara. And it means to loenaita. Good theologians have written a couple of dictionaries on this. They say it's a state of gladness or great happiness. And Matthew 28:8, it's the verse where the women encounter the angel and the angel tells them that Christ is risen. They run away from the tomb, fearful, but at the same time, full of great joy. And in a number of languages, this is translated as one language has, my heart is dancing. My heart shouts because I'm happy. So this section, in a nutshell, it's telling us that our daily attitudes inspire and encourage others. They're of huge importance. I really think this is a central point that Paul's talking about, because he's all talking about love and life together. And this is an essential aspect of life, productive life together. You know, it's how to live in love towards one another. And if you take that by extension, actually what Paul is getting to is he's saying, this actually demonstrates our understanding of the gospel. Because God is love. So there's some real depth here. And I did some searching then on being happy. And happy people. And did you know, I found this study. It was in Time magazine last September. And it comes from University of Michigan State. And they did some research, and they found out that participants with happy partners, so those spouses, those people whose spouses are happy, they actually are happier people. And they have a better life overall. And they actually found that people married to a happy partner are much better off in a number of ways than someone that's married to a downer. For example, they said that somebody in that situation reported better health, experienced less physical impairment. And because of the happy person that was with them, they exercised more frequently. And they found out overall that their whole life was better. They found out that the happy person is better caretaker because they have more emotional energy and able to strengthen the other to see if they're okay. You know, they also play for the long game, which is important because this is, they think more to the future and a better future. And since this is how they're looking at the world, they tend to eat better, sleep better, take care of themselves better. And what really amazed me in this study is that with all our science and our modern knowledge, we haven't found anything new that Paul hasn't found out from Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. That's what he's telling us in this. He's saying it is a positive effect on people for us to be joyous. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it's good to be confirmed in that it really does make a real difference in real life. So that's why Paul's bringing it up. And we have a problem because our hearts are not like this. My heart's not. And you know, our hearts are a problem. And the one thing about the Bible, which I ask you to bear with in these verses, the Bible does one thing that's really cool. It does not hold back anything. It just tells you exactly the way it is. It says, this is reality. And it sometimes tells us things we don't want to hear. This verse 14 and 15, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one will speak a word of blame against you. This is probably the most difficult verse in the whole Bible. It says everything. I don't do that. Do you do that? Would you agree with me that this is a really difficult verse? Do you ever hear the expression? The expression goes like this. I may rise, but I refuse to shine. And these two women are talking, and a woman asked her friend and said, do you wake up grouchy? And her friend replied, no, I usually let him sleep. I mean, the idea, let me share a Bible verse with you. This is a verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is what it says. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, people wonder what God's will is for them. People ask me that question. They say, what is God's will? Here it is. God's will is that you give thanks. God's will, right in black and white, you think, really? Is that it? That's all God's will? Why? Because when we do, it shows that we're trusting God. When we do, what Paul is really saying, he's really talking about faith here. And what Paul is saying is that faith is meant to have a real impact on real life. And it makes sense then that that impact would be good because God loves us and cares for us in everything that happens. Now, there are certainly a lot of things that we should not be thankful for. I am not thankful for wars. I'm not thankful for people that would want to cause violence in this world. I'm not thankful for cancer. I'm not thankful for other horrible diseases that happen. I'm not thankful for the loss of life. I'm not thankful for any of those things. And we really shouldn't be. About the recent earthquakes. And the hurricanes that happened in this country. It does not say in that verse, for example, we should be thankful for everything. As a matter of fact, we should not be thankful for evil because that would be a perversion of God's word. But it does say we should be thankful in everything. Basically, it means that the world can throw nothing at you that can really change God's good plans for you. The heart that believes this is a happy heart. Now, I don't find the text a downer. Actually, I find it an encouragement because Paul is talking not about any human work or anything that we would do. He's simply talking about a growing and a living faith, trusting God. You know, and I would guess that everybody listening to me this morning is not satisfied with the spiritual power that you have in your life and is likely dissatisfied with the consistency and the fruitfulness of your life. I think we all share that. And he talks about us as shining as lights. What a beautiful image that we have this idea that we are shining like lights in the heavens. And the word that he used for lights there is one that's used in the Septuagint from Genesis. It talks about the sun and the moon and the stars. And if you've ever seen like a jeweler, when a jeweler will take out diamonds, he'll take the diamonds and he'll put them out on black velvet because on black velvet they shine even brighter.
Now, what he's talking about is not anything that's our work. He's talking about something that's God's work. It's the Word of God that created the sun, the moon, and the stars out of nothing. And God brings that into our life. What he's talking about, and Paul gets into this in his epistle, is Christ and Christ alone. That is God's creative work inside us. That is what gives us hope. That is what gives us life. That is what gives us forgiveness. You see, this is what he's talking about. Now, when we think of our own works and our own abilities, we'll think of areas where we fail, and we might get down, we'd get depressed, we'd be sad. Paul is directing us to rejoice because of what God has given us in Christ. Be thankful for his forgiveness. Be thankful in all your situations and all your circumstances. Believe that God is with you, not against you. We can become prisoners to our worries, our fussings, our complainings, and all this such. The greatest word that a prisoner could ever hear is not guilty. Paul is writing to people in Philippi that don't want to live like this. The Holy Spirit has convinced them of that. And Paul is preaching this word to them, not guilty. And this is a reason to rejoice. This is a reason to be happy that God in Christ has set you free. That's how you shine. You shine by the grace of God, by the love of God. And then Paul gets into it in the latter part of these verses in our section that we had. He says, you shine as lights in Christ, and you hold on to the Word of God. Holding on to the Word of God means, in Greek, it means that you stand your position. You stand your position. You stand straight. You don't move. What would that mean? It would mean in our life that if you need God's forgiveness over something, if you have odds with somebody or any issue like that, God's Word says His grace forgives you, and it can change that situation. It can empower you, and you stand on that. And if Satan comes and he condemns you, and he says you're not worthy of this, you stand. And you say, I am a child of God. I didn't do that. God did that. That's who I am, and I'm standing. There is power in that. That's what he's getting to. That's the shining. The shining is our faith. It's not a work that we do. It's not something that we kind of make ourselves polished up and appealing to God, because that will never happen. It's our faith standing on the promises of God that actually brings the joy. And actually brings a confidence. And this is what we do. And there's times that God is going to ask you to stand. He's going to ask you to stand for what's right. It's important. Hold on to the Word of God. You hold on to it and you say, nope, this is what God wants me to do. I know it, I see it, I read it, I believe it. And that's what Paul is encouraging the people to do. Why? Because he knows that's where the joy is. He knows that's where the power is, where the strength is. It's in the Word of God. That you see it. You hold it. You fix your attention to it. In a world that doesn't want to have anything to do with it, that's on a crooked path and going the wrong way so often, he tells us to stand, hold on to this Word of God. That you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Through what Christ has done. They need that light. Oh my goodness, we look at the world, they need that light. Life and power and joy and fruitfulness are mediated by God's Word. That's just what God has decided to do. That's how God has decided to do it. And I can't promise you that every time that you read the Word of God, it's going to bring miraculous change to your life. Remember, you're in it for the long game. You're going to trust God. You're going to believe that He is working, that He's able to work, and He's going to work. I can guarantee you one thing, that you will not have the joy and you will not have the promises and power of God if you don't read the Word. You won't have it. You won't find it anywhere else. But you will find it in the Word of God. You know, here's the good news. Actually, I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is that I'm pretty good and you're pretty good at worrying. I'm sure. We're pretty good at that. We're probably professionals. And I don't want to have a worrying contest, but we're probably pretty good at worrying about things. And worrying is an interesting thing. If you know how to worry, you know how to hold on to the Word of God. Because worrying is when you take a negative thought, an idea about yourself or about someone else or about a situation, and you cogitate it and you hold on to it in your mind. And haven't you noticed that when you do, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger? And you begin to fill in the gaps, and you begin to, it goes in a wrong path. Now, if you're able to worry,
You can substitute that negativity for God's word. And you can plug God's word and promises into your thoughts, and it can actually bring the faith, because it's a means of grace that God is intending to bring. And you will shine. Now, I get it. Well, we might shine like a 2-watt bulb from time to time, but you will shine. And this is just God's intent. This is his wonderful purpose. It's amazing. And the fact is, the greatest miracle is that if God has revealed this to you, if you say, yeah, that's true, that's a spirit. That's God working inside of you. That's the light of Christ that has come to you and brought the hope and life that Christ brings. Let's grow in that. As a church, as individuals, as families, let's grow in that. We need God's light to shine through us. The world needs that. This is what God has called you for. And we thank him and praise him. In Jesus' name, amen.